recurring thoughts lead to recurring actions, and those actions shape your destiny. Maybe your thoughts are about your boss, or your coworkers, or partners, or parents, or kids. Maybe your thoughts are how you approach work, or sex, or alcohol, or religion. Each of these thoughts creates actions, which build our lives. It's not too much to say that your life right now is the outcome of a lifetime of thoughts. Where you have positive outcomes, you probably have positive thought habits. And where you have negative outcomes, you probably have negative thought habits. Those are the mind habits we're gonna hack. But in order to hack them, we have to first become aware of these thoughts. We have to become aware of the mind. Now, the simplest way of doing that is with your first mind game. This is called, What Was My Mind Just Thinking? Today, as many times as possible, ask yourself, what was my mind just thinking? You try to catch yourself in the process of thinking. You don't have to do any value judgments, calling your thoughts positive or negative. You just try to notice what you were just thinking. So I might be walking around thinking about some conversation I had, and I just say, what was my mind just thinking? Conversation. Or I might be fretting about the future, and I remember I'm playing the game. What was my mind just thinking? Skynet. I might be fantasizing about some dream I have. What was my mind just thinking? Oscar acceptance speech. Simple, right? Try to do this for 24 hours until we meet again. Give yourself a point each time you remember to check in on your mind. We call them awareness points. You're going to write down your final score in your mind hacking book or on your pad of sticky notes at the end of the day. Your thoughts become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your destiny. So start today by noticing your thoughts, and then you can begin to control your destiny. Very bad on the voice. Day 2, now complete. Mark it off in the book, on your practice sheet, or in the Mind Hacking app, which you can download at www.mindhacky.ng. Give yourself a reward, and I'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, hack hard and prosper. Welcome to Day 3 of the Mind Hacking 21-Day Program. I'm Sir John Hargrave. When I go to the movies, I love analyzing the movie. Are you a movie geek like me? Movie starts up, thinking about the actors or the cinematography. But then, you know, if it's a good movie, after a while, you forget to analyze it because you get lost in it. And that's the point of a movie, right? To make you forget about your boring-ass life for a few minutes. You forget you're watching the movie because you're in the movie. And our minds are just like that movie. We get absorbed in them. So if our minds say something like, that coworker Sheila is really out to get me, we don't say, oh, that's the Sheila revenge movie. Instead, we fixate on Sheila and her devious plotting. If our minds say, I am never going to find a partner, we don't say, oh, that's the lifetime loneliness movie. Instead, we obsess over our relationship problems. If our minds say, I'm broke or depressed or anxious or sick or messed up, we don't say, those are all BBC dramas. We think they're us. We get lost in the mind movie. Now, the good news is you don't have to believe everything you think. You don't have to believe everything your mind tells you. You can choose your thoughts in the same way you choose what to eat. There's a strange kind of relief that comes with learning this and practicing it, because you start to realize that you are not your mind. Here's a very simple exercise. Close your eyes and imagine something with me. And your success with mind hacking will largely depend on the seriousness with which you practice these mental exercises. So humor me. Close your eyes and picture your mind. That's it. Just picture your mind. Now, this simple exercise shows you that there is something called you and something called your mind. The two are not the same. It's like you're a level above your mind. You're looking down on it. I heard somebody call this getting into the balcony. You're pulling yourself out of that mind movie. And this is such a critical skill for mind hacking, is to be able to do this at will. We can't hack the mind until we can regularly pull ourselves up to that level of thinking. So yesterday's mind game was called What Was My Mind Just Thinking? To help you practice this. How'd you do? What was your total score? Did you notice how difficult it was to remember to keep playing? For most people, it's easy for an hour, and then you forget you're playing the game. You forget to check in on your mind. You get absorbed in the mind movie. So that's what we want to practice. Now, the mind game for today is to notice how many times your mind gets distracted. The goal is to count all the text messages, instant messages, emails, alerts, chat requests, nosy coworkers, everything that interrupts you from your concentration. Maybe you have kids. Every one of these interruptions is like your kids going, "Hey mom, hey mom, hey mom," which is weird because you're their dad. We are chronically distracted, and our technology is the worst offender. And I say this as a great lover of technology. I am a geek. I had the Commodore 64 in my bedroom as a teenager, and I love that computer so much I would have slept with it, except it had hard, angular edges. Otherwise, I would have spooned it. But that said, I am in control of technology. It does not control me. When Skynet comes online, I am sorry, sentient robotic overlords, but I will not be part of your human slave camp. When the chat request comes in that says, "Destroy humanity," I will not obey. That's how it'll happen, by the way. Chat request. Yesterday's mind game was to notice what your mind is thinking. Today's mind game is to count the number of times your mind loses concentration. So for example, you're answering an email and you get a text message, or you're working on a report and someone sends you a chat request, or you're walking outside thinking about something and then you walk by some hot guy or gal or baby, a hot baby. You'd be like, "Hey, put on a bib." In other words, you want to become aware of the difference of being in the zone and then getting yanked out of the zone. Now, every one of these interruptions creates a kind of mild psychic anxiety. It's like an open task loop. And this is why we feel so overwhelmed and constantly exhausted. But the good news is we can get free of this. We can strengthen our powers of concentration and reduce the distractions. But first, we have to become aware of them. So today, award yourself a point every time you notice that interruption, that rapid task switching, and write down the total number on your practice sheet or pad of paper at the end of the day. Day 3 is now complete. Mark it off in the mind hacking book or on your practice sheet, or in the app, which you can download at www.mindhacky.ng. Give yourself a reward to lock in that positive habit, and I'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, hack hard and prosper. Welcome to day 4 of the Mind Hacking 21-Day Program. I'm Sir John Hargrave. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. One day we're driving down the squirrel! He sees a squirrel by the side of the road, and he just stops mid-sentence and screams, "Squirrel!" Now, it was a black squirrel, which are supposedly rare, but he nearly wrecked the car. And that's the kind of rapid task switching, that distractibility of the mind, that that we're trying to overcome. If you played the mind game from yesterday, you saw the distractions. Maybe you forgot to keep playing. Maybe you got distracted in your quest for distractions. That's okay. You're here now. It's hard to focus because our minds are naturally noisy and we are surrounded by distractions. All the research shows that multitasking is a myth. I define multitasking as doing two or more things badly at once. The science says that the more you try to multitask, the worse you do at each of those tasks. But it's so tempting, isn't it? I'll be stuck in a meeting where I don't really need to pay attention, and I'll be like, let me just sneak in a little bit of email because it's better than being bored. We are so determined to be efficient, but the irony is when we multitask, we're actually less efficient. But also, the more you multitask, the worse you feel. David Allen is the guy who wrote Getting Things Done, which a lot of people view as the Bible of productivity. Allen talks about the psychic clutter of unfinished tasks. And I love that term, psychic clutter. If you're overwhelmed, it could be because you have these open task loops, this psychic clutter piled up all around you. I used to have this doctor, and his office was a pigsty. His desk was a freaking fire hazard. It was covered in piles of reports and folders and papers. He had his monitor balanced on like a medical journal from 1972. The guy was a renowned asthma specialist, but I never quite trusted him because his office looked like the nest of a well-educated rat. Can you relate to that doctor with the amount of what feels like unfinished tasks all around you? All that psychic clutter laying around in piles. We're like hoarders, but with open tasks. But today, we're going to get control. The mind game for today is called the 1 hour investment. Invest 1 hour cleaning out or turning off unnecessary digital distractions. For example, turn off your instant messenger by default. Set your text messages to vibrate. Turn off the notifications and alerts in your system tray and startup screen. Delete bookmarks for time-wasting internet sites. And unsubscribe, ruthlessly unsubscribe from email lists. This is a 1 hour investment that's going to pay off far into the future, keeping you more focused and less distracted. Count the number of digital distractions as you turn them off and record that number in the mind hacking book or your pad of sticky notes. If you can't do an hour, do 15 minutes, but don't do more than an hour. Sometimes I'll read these productivity sites and I'll notice people wasting endless hours trying to get more productive. And then the irony safe falls on their heads. It's irony, but it's made out of iron. Is that irony or is that coincidence? It's hard to tell. Often hard to tell. Anyway, productivity techniques that suck your productivity. That's ironic. So, spend an hour today cleaning up that psychic clutter. It's like putting money in the concentration bank, which is going to earn interest over time, which you can store in your irony safe. You can also set a recurring appointment in your calendar to quickly review and eliminate distractions once a month, like giving yourself some mental house cleaning. Day 4 is now complete. Mark it off in your mind hacking book or on your practice sheet or in the app, which you can download at www.mindhacky.ng. Give yourself a reward to lock in that positive habit, and I'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, hack hard and prosper. Welcome to day 5 of the Mind Hacking 21 Day Program. I'm Sir John Hargrave. Today is a big day in your training.
Learn to use the force, you will.
That was the worst Yoda ever. We're going to learn concentration training, which I call Jedi training. You may know it as meditation or mindfulness, but I call it Jedi training. Or concentration training, because that's what it is. You'll need to find a quiet spot today where you'll be sitting for about 10 minutes. And while you find that spot, let me tell you a little story about Richard Feynman, one of the most brilliant scientists of the 20th century. He won the 1965 Nobel Prize in Physics, but he was also this really funny, curious character. He wrote this book called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. If you haven't read it, classic. Now, like all good scientists, Feynman was really curious and open-minded. And he was working at Princeton, where they would often have visiting lecturers. One day they're in this lecture hall announcing the upcoming speakers, and the dean explains they're going to have a hypnotist come in, and they'll be asking for volunteers. Feynman is so curious about the mind that he says to himself, I have to see if I can be hypnotized. So the dean keeps giving the announcement, and Feynman just starts getting himself really worked up, and he's so convinced that he's going to miss out that he's just like a coiled spring waiting in his seat. Please pick me. Please pick me. So the dean finishes up the announcement and he says, so would anyone care to volunteer for the hypnosis demonstration? And Feynman's hand shoots up and he yells, me! And of course, he's the only one raising his hand. His voice is reverberating in the hall. And the dean says, well, I knew you'd want to do it, Feynman, but is there anybody else? So the next week, the hypnotist comes in. And they do a few demonstrations, and Feynman is hypnotized, but he's still conscious of everything that's going on. So he feels on some level like he's kind of playing along. And if you've ever been lightly hypnotized, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're kind of playing along. So the hypnotist tells Feynman to go back to his seat, but he says, take the long way around the auditorium. So Feynman says, enough is enough, and he just starts walking straight back to his seat. Just to show him a thing or two. But then he gets this uncomfortable feeling, like he would just feel better if he walked the long way around. So even though he's convinced he could walk right back to his seat, he takes the long way around the auditorium. And he says, it was an interesting experience because thinking to yourself, I can do it, but I won't, is just another way of saying you can't. Now, the inverse of that is saying, I can do it, and I will. And that's what you have been doing with this 21-day program. Today, we're going to learn a technique that you can approach with that same type of curiosity and inquiry that Feynman had about his own mind. This concentration training will not only help clear up that mental clutter that we've talked about in previous days, but there are many research studies that show it helps you improve attention, regulate emotions, even stay healthier. My favorite study shows that it makes you feel good. I've been practicing this for many years, and in my experience, these things are true. It really works. I suggest you find a consistent time each day, and my experience is morning is best. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to find a comfortable place to sit, free from distractions. You can pause the recording here if you need to find that place. And once you're seated, you just sit in a comfortable position. You can put your hands on your thighs or in your lap. And you try to keep your back straight, kind of relaxed but alert. And you close your eyes, and now you start focusing on the breath. And if you've ever watched the way a baby breathes, its belly rises and falls. And we want those same slow, deep, calming breaths. And now we do a simple body relaxation. And we're trying to consciously relax the tension in every part of our body. Starting with the toes and the feet, the ankles, the legs, the thighs, torso, belly, chest, back, shoulders, arms, wrists, hands, and fingers. And now moving back up and relaxing the neck and the chin, the cheeks, the nostrils, the eyes, the forehead, and the top of the head. Now for a few moments, we'll focus on the breath at the area of the nostrils. And you just want to observe it. Just watch it as the breath goes in and out of the nostrils, focusing on keeping those calm, slow, steady breaths. And if you find your mind wandering, that's a success. You award yourself a point, and then you refocus your mind on the breathing again. Okay? Here we go. And now in this state of focus and concentration, notice the calmness of your mind. You can return to this throughout the day. And you will. You will begin to notice the slightest increase clarity of your mind when you practice this faithfully.
In between distractions, notice you will calmness and clarity of mind. Throughout your day, notice also clarity mind of calmness, yes. Tomorrow training further Jedi return you will, yes.
I was channeling the spirit of Frank Oz badly. Congratulations. This was a big day. You did it. Day 5. Complete. Mark it off in your mind hacking book, on your practice sheet, or in the app, which you can download at www.mindhacky.ng. Give yourself a reward. Lock in that positive habit, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hack hard and prosper. Welcome to day 6 of the Mind Hacking 21-Day Program. I'm Sir John Hargrave. You're building positive habits. And the great thing is, habits can be learned. Habits can help us accomplish amazing things. Let me tell you a story. My son and I climbed Mount Washington. This is the highest peak in the Northeast, 6,200 feet. And to summit the mountain, you have to get up ridiculously early, before daybreak, and hit the trailhead. It's freezing and it's dark. So close your eyes and imagine for a second that you're climbing with us. It's a nice wooded trail, and it slopes upward very gently. It's like we're on a woodsy hike. The sun rises. The dew is glistening on the leaves. The weather grows a little warmer. We take off 2 of our 12 layers of underwear. And we walk and walk and walk. This goes on for a very long time. Sometimes the trail goes down, and we're like, is this the right way? I don't think down takes you to the top of the mountain, but we place our faith in the trail marker as we keep going. This goes on for hours, and eventually we start to get up into the clouds. We're actually in the clouds. So everything is coated with this fine layer of mist. It's beautiful. It's like Middle Earth. You expect a freaking hobbit to jump out and offer you a pipe. It is that magical. So we keep climbing for an interminably long time. Now on the map, our trail is supposed to connect with the Appalachian Trail, but we see no trail merge. And I am sure that we should have merged by now. So we keep stopping and looking at the map every 5 minutes for an hour. And the trail map, you may remember, was printed at home on our laser printer, which was running out of toner. So, little difficult to read, but we have trust in our course. So we keep walking and walking and walking until suddenly we have the moment. You know how with many trips there is a moment? Whenever somebody tells me they visited Italy or a nudist colony, I always say, what was the moment? And this was the moment. We got above the tree line. This is the altitude where trees can no longer grow, so it turns from this magical wooded forest to scrub and grass. And it's not gradual, it's instant. But even better, it had been kind of overcast and cloudy, and suddenly the clouds completely parted. Because we were in the clouds, you could see them blow away like smoke, and behind us, we saw the enormous peak of Mount Washington in its majestic glory. All we needed was the chorus of heavenly angels. We sat down on a rock and just basked in the sun and the feeling of accomplishment. It was breathtaking, literally, because we were out of breath. Now, our journey together over these 21 days is going to be much like that journey up Mount Washington. There will be a slow, steady sense of progress with some occasional moments of difficulty and confusion. But at some point, I believe you will have a moment of clarity, just as we did. The clouds will part and you will see.
You will understand your mind and your life more clearly. And that moment is supremely satisfying. That is why we're doing this 21-day program. The habit of one step in front of the other helped us get up that mountain. You are learning habits of thought in mind hacking, and those thoughts will play out in your actions and your life. This concentration exercise that you learned yesterday is helping you develop these new habits of thought and action in two ways. First, it's helping you develop a clarity of mind. This is why all these corporate CEOs and major league sports teams are doing meditation and mindfulness training, because it helps them make better decisions. It makes them more effective, and it will do the same for you. Second, the concentration exercise itself is a positive habit, so it's a self-reinforcing loop. Remember that your thoughts become your actions become your habits, and your habits become your destiny. We're going to do the concentration exercise again today. And today, make an effort to allow your mind to relax, to mentally melt. Find a comfortable space. And sit in a comfortable position. You can put your hands in your lap, on your thighs. If you need to move around, that's okay. And keeping your back straight, but relaxed, you want to breathe in slowly and deeply. Watching the belly rise and fall. And picture the relaxation flowing up your body like a warm, relaxing liquid, flowing first into your feet and then your legs, your knees, your thighs, your torso, and all of the tension leaving your belly and your chest and your shoulders, every muscle relaxing up your back, all the way up to your arms. And that relaxing liquid is spreading through your wrists and your hands and fingers. And as you keep breathing, it flows up your neck and into your head, relaxing all the muscles of your face, where we store so much tension. It now relaxes. And take a moment to just feel your body in that state of extreme relaxation. And now for the next few minutes, we're going to focus on our breathing at the nostrils, focusing on the gentle breathing in and breathing out. And when we notice our minds wandering, congratulations. That's a success. Award yourself an awareness point for noticing. And then focus your attention back on the breath. I'm going to be doing it alongside you. And here we go. And now, in this state of focused concentration, notice how good you feel. Notice how it feels good to have your mind focused and free from distractions. It feels good to have clarity. It feels good to have focus. And this is only the beginning. As you get higher and higher on the mountain, practicing your concentration exercises faithfully, you feel better and better. The air gets clearer and clearer. And I look forward to seeing you back tomorrow. Open your eyes. Day 6 is now complete. Mark it off in the Mind Hacking book or on your practice sheet or in the app, which you can download at www.mindhacky.ng. Remember to record your total score from your concentration exercise. And don't forget to give yourself a reward to lock in this positive habit. I'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, my friend, hack hard and prosper. Welcome to day 7 of the Mind Hacking 21-Day Program. I'm Sir John Hargrave. The topic for today is negative thought loops. And I'm going to share 3 deeply revealing personal anecdotes and how I used 3 separate mind hacks to get to the root of these. Negative thought loops are the unhelpful self-talk that goes on in our mind. It's like bugs in computer code. So we're trying to debug our minds and get to the root problem thought. Now, the way we become aware of these negative thoughts is looking for areas of mental pain or mental friction or just a persistent thought that we can't seem to shake. And the goal is to trace these thoughts back down to their root, then to articulate the thought in a single sentence. And there are 3 mind hacks that you can use for this. The first one is called the 5 whys. And you simply ask the question, why? 5 times, keeping the focus on yourself. For example, I used to always be uncomfortable around people. I'd be talking with somebody and not really listening to what they were saying because I was so self-conscious about my posture or my teeth or my hair or whatever. So I asked, why am I so self-conscious? Because I'm concerned what they'll think about me. Why? Because people are judgmental. Why? Because I need their approval. Why? Because people's opinions matter to me. Why? Because I don't feel comfortable with who I am. So there's the problem thought in a short sentence. I don't feel comfortable with who I am. And once you get that negative loop into a sentence like that, you can start to reprogram it with its positive equivalent, like, I'm comfortable in my own skin, which today I am. The second debugging technique is called worst case scenario. And whenever you have one of these persistent negative thoughts, you just ask yourself, what's the worst case scenario? For example, when I left my day job to start my own business, I would sometimes have these moments of anxiety, especially when some big unforeseen problem arose. At one point, we had 2 or 3 big clients and we lost one of them. And I remember sitting there with my head in my hands, wondering how we were going to make it through. And what helped me was asking, what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario was that the company would be a total failure and no one would want to hire me, and then a meteor collides with the earth. But playing out the absolute worst case usually showed me there were many contingency plans and alternate solutions I could take if things got really bad, which they never did. So it helped.
The third technique is called third-person perspective. My mind used to always remind me of dumb stuff I had done in the past. And believe me, there was a lot of dumb stuff to choose from. Didn't really run out of material. And it would just pick random times to spring this stuff on me. Like I'd be sitting there, minding my own business. My mind would say, hey, remember that time you bombed up on stage? Whoa, that was a shiner. And I was starting to develop nervous tics just from wincing at all these embarrassing memories. Third-person perspective is where you just sit across from yourself and say, what would I say to someone who was telling me this? And the answer for me was usually, it is really not worth worrying about that time you bombed on stage. You are probably the only person on earth who even remembers. Really. You need to let it go. So it's very helpful, and you can ask yourself questions like a therapist. For example, is it a recurring problem? Yes. Can you fix it? No. Why is it bothering you then? Because it drains my self-confidence. So what's the problem in a sentence? I'm an idiot. These are our darkest thoughts, aren't they? They undermine us. They sabotage our efforts. Third-person perspective can really help you pull those dark thoughts into the light. Right now, we're going to do a simple concentration exercise. Don't try to debug your mind just yet. Right now, just relax, and the debugging will come much more easily afterward. So find a comfortable place to sit. Get your body in a comfortable position. And we're going to focus on the breath. Focusing on the inhalations and the exhalations. Long, deep, and slow. And we're going to focus on consciously relaxing our entire body. As we breathe, we're going to breathe into our body, starting with the feet, breathing up into the legs and the knees, the thighs, the groin. It's a funny word, groin. The belly. And then picture breathing all the way up your spinal column and letting that breath just radiate outward into your back, your chest, your shoulders, through the arms, the hands, and the fingers, all the way out to the tips of the fingers. And then that breath permeating every cell of your neck and your face and your head. That oxygen flowing through your body, enlivening and invigorating every cell of your body. And now for a few minutes, we're going to focus on the breath at the nostrils. As you breathe in, picture that breath flowing into your body. As you breathe out, try to get that feeling of deepening your relaxation. the same way that you relax into a warm bubble bath. Breathe in that cleansing breath and breathe out deeper into relaxation. You notice your mind wandering, award yourself a point, and refocus your concentration on the breath. I'll do it along with you. Here we go.